Welcome into the final hour of Sports 180. It will be a busy one. We'll talk to Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports coming up at 2:30. We'll have Sports Talk taking over at 3 o'clock. We'll get more Tennessee football talk in, catch you up on what's going on in the sports world today. The Vols on the road for the first time this season against the Gators coming up on Saturday. You know, Heather, there's always a recruiting tie-in as well, and you'd love to have a good showing on the road in an SEC game. Did you happen to see Walter Nolan's tweet yesterday?
I did. Was unprepared for that coming up at this point. Let me regroup, contain myself. I'm paraphrasing here, but something about him, obviously he watched the game versus the Rammer Jammers on Saturday and was like, Florida's building towards the championship. That might be fun to be part of. And I was like, oh my gosh, panic button, SpongeBob, start running around, pull the fire alarm. No bueno if the Gators come right into Knoxville and pick out a prize defensive lineman.
Yeah, you wouldn't like to see that, for sure. To quote him exactly, Walter Nolan tweeted yesterday, Florida's on the path to get a championship in the next couple of years, and I can see myself there. Hashtag go Gators. And he tagged Gervin Dexter, said best defensive line duo. Not long ago, Walter put out his top three that did not include Florida. Now, Florida at one point was considered the favorite. This would back up what I've said, that who knows what's going to happen. It could be a long and winding road to the ultimate decision from Walter, and he should do whatever's best for him, in his opinion. He's one of the highest-rated defensive linemen or players, period, in the country, plays at Powell High School. But who knows in the end? But it's Tennessee-Florida week. So if you're a Tennessee fan, seeing that tweet the Monday of Florida week, I'm sure it wasn't exciting.
No,
yesterday.
It was not exciting, and don't need that for our mental health issues as a collective fan base that we already have. And one of the things, and it's not just about Walter Nolan, it's about the blue chip ratio. It's about the hope for the future. And until Tennessee can recruit at a higher level, you are going to be petering out. I mean, you're just going to have a ceiling that exists, no matter if Harry Potter was coaching on the sideline, right? And he was using all the magic in the world. There's still going to be a ceiling. And I think, I don't want to say it's alarming or anything like that at this point in time. There's still a ways to go. Mm-hmm. There has not been the buzz generated from the offensive side of the ball that has been a head turner. Now this, I mean, against Florida, you go out and have an awesome offensive day. That's a head turner, right, on the recruiting trail. You have not generated any buzz to boost the lackluster start you've had to the recruiting season. And that's the only way you're going to get out of this mess. I mean, at some point in time, you've got to get some higher caliber people buying into what you're doing and come here so that you can raise the floor and the ceiling. And it's multifaceted. Yeah, you don't want to see that Gator hater week when we're all, you know, talking trash and trying to win this game, and then, you know, a prized recruit from that lives in Knoxville is, you know, 15 minutes from up the road where we are right now. You don't want him tweeting about the Gators on at the beginning of a week.
No, you don't. And by the way, don't take my word for it. Don't take Heather's word for it on the importance of recruiting at a higher level and getting more highly touted players. Take South Carolina coach Shane Beamer's word for it.
Yeah.
As Saturday after the Georgia game, when he was asked about what Georgia was doing to cause them problems on defense, and he said, well, they have about 100 5-stars.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about 5-star hearts and, oh, I just want the 3-star guy that wants to be here so bad, I cannot tell you how antiquated that line of thinking is. It's just antiquated at this point. There's so many does it mean all the 5-stars work out? No, it's not an exact science, okay? I think we're learning some hard truths about that right now.
Yeah, but not all first-round picks in the NFL work out. You'll still take them.
Yeah, exactly, because their upside is just there. And, I mean, the blue-chip ratio, when you're talking about, you know, having a big percentage of your roster being 4- and 5-stars, those are the only teams making it to the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And making it every single week. Like, what extra data do you need at this point? I don't know. You want to go 10 more years trying with the guy that just wants to be here? I don't.
Yeah, you can have
both.
I want
some Eric Berries. Yeah. He loved to be here, and he was a Billy Bad A, man. I want that guy. Like, yeah. Times 10.
Yeah, I agree. More players of the caliber of Eric Berry, the better.
Yeah. Alabama now has more than what is allowable on an NFL roster playing in the NFL right now. They have 54 active players in the NFL right now. Is it just coincidence that they go to the playoff single year? Right. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and the point here is not to hammer home how bad things have gone. People will know. But this is the week where you're playing one of those type teams. And in recent years, Tennessee has not been competitive. Under Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee was not competitive against Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, the games that would get the most attention. If you can be more competitive, obviously, if you can pull off an upset in one of those type games, that gets you, I think, more attention. It will bring more credibility when you try to get in with one of the highly touted players that you're going after, somebody like Walter Nolan.
Yes.
Who can go anywhere he wants to and can go to Alabama, can go to Georgia, can go to Florida. They've all been on his list at some point. Texas A&M has been high on the list, and Tennessee is high on the list. But if you put that list together and you went outside of Knoxville and said which school doesn't fit, people are going to point to Tennessee. That's why Tennessee has to change the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where, and maybe you play that up, I don't know, when you're looking for motivation this way. I mean, you should be, I think, very motivated as a player to go out and showcase your individual skills against a team that is now in the top 10. There should be a personal pride point where you're very internally motivated to go out and show those guys what you've got. And when you look at it, it's not like Tennessee has zero blue chippers. I mean, over the summer, I think around June, 247 put out its top 16 teams. Now, Tennessee wasn't in the top 16 where 50% or more of your roster is blue chippers, but they're right. They're really close.
It was I can pull it up. I think in the talent rankings, Tennessee was 19th.
Yeah, yeah. So,
that's,
I mean,
that's just overall going back to recruiting where they were and what the roster is.
Yes. And so it's like, okay, that's where big picture, the Walter Nolans of the world make a difference to put you over the edge and to get you back into some of those conversations. So, I mean, it's just a big statement game. Yeah. Like, it's kind of, you know, what are you made of at this point? Like, do something. Just show them that you're made of more than a 20-point spread.
Yeah. Tennessee, according to 247 Sports, is 19th in the country in terms of roster talent with 28 four or five star players out of 81.
So, yeah.
Now, a lot of those guys, I would say, are probably younger. Not all have panned out among the older guys. Like Aubrey Solomon, I believe, is one of the five star players. Darnell Wright's five star player, and the production would not meet what the rating was.
Yes. So I think Harrison Bailey too, right? Even though he's young.
Yeah, Harrison was a four-star, but he's on that list of the higher-rated. Mm-hmm. In fact, he is, as I'm looking at it right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, he's the fifth highest-rated player. So here are your top five guys. Actually, when you look at the top 10, it would kind of back up why we're having conversations where we are. In order, Darnell Wright, Aubrey Solomon, Cade Mays, Amari Thomas, Harrison Bailey, 6 through 10, Brandon Turnage, who is a transfer from Alabama, Ramel Keaton, Tyler Barron, Alante Taylor, Aaron Willis. So you're currently getting real consistent production
out of Alante, yeah.
Yeah, Alante, Cade Mays. I guess it depends on your definition. Darnell Wright starting at left tackle. Tyler Barron.
Mm-hmm.
So I would expect more from Aubrey Solomon. Amari Thomas has been a part of it too, of playing up front on the defensive line. He's just
a
sophomore.
He's just so young. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you see the challenges, but you also see the upside.
Yeah, number 11 on the list, Kamen Marley. He's a freshman who's not playing yet.
Mm-hmm. So, again, going back to what
you're
looking for.
This isn't helping the Stars Matter conversation, but you need more of them. That's for sure.
Yeah, you just got to be deeper. We've talked about on the offensive line. You just named a couple of offensive linemen. We're still talking about them in regards to their recruiting stars and not necessarily because they're playing at an all-SEC caliber level.
Yeah.
So you even need more from those guys. You need to see more from Cade Mays.
Yeah, but I mean, he should be held to a high standard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, as I scroll through here, if you look at the top 20 to 25 guys, easily the majority are first or second year guys.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. And so, but going back to my original point about you need something, there's got to be some sort of catalyst for this Tennessee staff to generate buzz to get some more people interested on the recruiting trail. I mean, I haven't even looked. I was trying to pull it up a minute ago, and I just haven't been able to connect because I keep getting sidetracked. But, like, nobody's talking about the Vols right now. I mean, there's no, like, big, except for Walter Nolan, that there's no white whale
on the recruiting
that's
trail
out there.
You're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is the lowest I can recall, the buzz level, whatever you would say, around Tennessee football recruiting. Yep. So as we wrap this segment up, how'd I do with the mood ahead of Heather's birthday tomorrow?
Well, I'm not going to let you rain on my parade, okay. So there is that. So you always have to consider. But then also, again, you go back to what do you have to lose this week? You got to go out there, guns blazing. Give it your best and see where the chips fall. I mean, this is definitely not a game to play scared because you got to make something happen.
Yeah, put your chips on the table. I'll come up with some more cliches when we come back for the next segment on Sports 180. We have a pop-up fact for you. We'll talk to Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports at 2:30. 656-9900 to join us on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports 180, thank you for being with us. Tomorrow's first day of fall.
Hello! First day of fall, my birthday. Do you need my Venmo? What's the deal? Just kidding. I know people are getting tired of me. I've gotten older, and now that I have kids, I mean, obviously their birthdays are a big deal, and I love to celebrate. I love to celebrate other people's birthdays, and I still like to celebrate mine. Just do not go to the extent that I used to go. It was probably pretty obnoxious for everybody that knew me back in my mid-20s.
Hey, that's okay. Live it up. You get you get one a year.
You get one day a year. It's your day. Enjoy it, people.
Enjoy it for sure. Tennessee, Florida coming up on Saturday. We'll continue the conversation there. We're going to hit a pop-up fact coming up in just a moment. And Jay Busby will join us in 10 minutes as we've talked a little bit about the Packers. Nice showing last night. Now it's against the Lions. Let's see what they do against San Francisco. That's a good matchup.
That's a great matchup.
You have Rams-Bucks coming up. We're getting closer to Bucks, Patriots, Tom back in New England. So the next few weeks in the NFL should be a lot of fun. Titans, Colts, very important in the AFC South.
Yeah, Titans, Colts, you're going to have that this weekend, which is like, whoa, wait, it's only week three. Now we got to play, you know, division opponent. Okay, here we go. And then also Eagles, Cowboys on Monday Night Football. So
that is a good Monday Night game, yeah.
I think so. I mean, it's very up in the air, and I was thoroughly impressed 2 weeks ago with Jalen Hurts. We're like, holy smokes, this guy can still play. So, I think there's a lot of good matchups coming up in the NFL.
Yeah, now, 2 weeks in, so we'll see if things change. But at this point, who among us is not going to light up the Falcons' defense? Jalen Hurts and Tom Brady in the first 2 weeks sure have done it. We'll see if that continues. In Atlanta, they're not off to the start that they hoped and that I actually expected. That playoff pick might end up being wrong. We'll get to the phone lines coming up as well, 656-9900. Right now, let's hit today's pop-up fact. So this one's a little off the radar, I would say, for a lot of people, and probably not a stat that you're keeping up with often, but I saw this earlier today, and he's just so far out in front of everybody that I thought it was worth bringing up. In Major League Baseball this season, just a couple weeks to go in the season, no left-handed pitcher has gotten 400 swinging strikes, except for the Blue Jays' Robbie Ray, who has more than 500. One left-handed pitcher has gotten to 400 swinging strikes, and it's Robbie Ray who has actually exceeded 500.
Yeah, and Rob Friedman posted a video of somebody on the Rays doing an at-bat against Robbie Ray, literally breaking both of his ankles. It is so funny on an 86-mile-an-hour slider. I mean, just nuts what this guy is doing. So not only is he achieving something that's really incredible, but it's like not even close anybody else behind him. Like, it's not like he's just narrowly edging out somebody. I mean, he's dominating right now.
Yeah, and you know what? Probably the most random conversation of the day, but I really liked him a few years ago in Arizona, and then he dropped off. It's like, okay, Robbie Ray, I guess it's just not going to work out. He goes to Toronto, and he's having a big-time season in a contract year.
Ah.
Might be time. He'll be a free agent. That is very good timing by the left-hander who is making a lot of people miss. He has a 2.72 ERA this season and a number of strikeouts to go with the performance. So how about that? Robbie Ray with the Blue Jays, and he's part of the success that the team has had. Currently, they have one of the two wild card spots, a half game ahead of the New York Yankees. That is our pop-up fact today. It's presented by Burton McKinnish Law.
Burton McKinnish Law, with offices in Maryville, Sevierville, Western North Carolina, and Southeastern Kentucky. If you're facing legal issues, family law and divorce, criminal defense, DUI, Social Security, or personal injury, remember, all people are equal before the law, and a good attorney will make the difference. Trust Burton McKinnish Law. Visit burtonmckinnish.com. Are the Blue Jays the best story going into this last stretch? Are they, like, are people
behind Atlanta? Is that what you meant?
I'm saying for the general population.
Yeah,
I think so, with Vlad and all that. I think it's really cool.
Yep. Ray also leads majors in strikeouts. I thought that was the case. Wanted to make sure he is. Tim, you're on Sports 180. Tim, we have a minute to go before we have to get out, but wanted to work your call in. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all letting me get on and everything. Hey, I just wanted to get on. Of course, unfortunately, I was the picker. I missed the score.
Tim Ward. We were rooting for you, man.
We were rooting for Ward to bring it home.
Hey, believe me, the wife was getting nervous, too, when it was in the 40s. She said, well, you're getting awful close. I said, yeah, but the other team needs to score something.
Yeah.
And she's already ready to pick stuff, put in the car. I'm like, honey, don't put nothing in the car yet. It's not mine. So there you go. Because it was not mine at all. When she knew I had a shot, it was not my car, no matter what. So
yeah, no
like
doubt.
I had no shot. Hey, listen, I just wanted to ask about the football this weekend. I like the guys from Tennessee. We're talking about Florida getting beat. That would be great. I wouldn't care. I want to see Florida go down because I love seeing Florida get beat, especially by us. So I wanted to ask about, do you think we'll see Milton start, or will they start Hilton or Hooker and then get Milton and say, well, look what we got behind us. We got a guy who can throw like crazy, but – you know, do you think that's bothering Florida not knowing?
Yeah.
At all? I mean, just bring him on. We'll take him, you know. So.
Yeah, it's a good question, Tim. Thanks for calling in, and sorry you missed out, but you made a good run at it with the Ford Mustang from Ted Russell Ford with our score Ford last week. My immediate answer, Heather, is I don't know, but I do know the staff's not giving up on Joe Milton, so if he starts, I wouldn't be surprised, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised with Hooker having played this past weekend. So who knows?
Having played this past weekend, also having been the healthiest guy,
right,
you know, to this point and gotten the bulk of the one reps over the past 2 weeks. So it would not be a shock if either of those guys starts, because I do think that the staff is still very much in on Milton and his potential. But they recognize, hey, Hendon Hooker's available and he's clicking on all cylinders right now. Maybe we'll go with him.
It's the question of the week so far this season. We will come back with Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports, his thoughts 2 weeks into the NFL season when we come back on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
Injury news in the NFL. Colts quarterback Carson Wentz has two sprained ankles that he sustained in the Colts loss to the Rams on Sunday. Head coach Frank Wright said that his status is now up in the air against the Titans this weekend. The Texans announced that they'll be starting Davis Mills on Thursday night against the Panthers. Quarterback Tyrod Taylor injured his hamstring against the Browns on Sunday. That means Deshaun Watson will remain on the bench. In Major League Baseball, the Braves travel to take on the Diamondbacks at 9:40. The Cubs will host the Twins at 7:40. The Reds and the Pirates get going in Cincinnati at 6:40. And the Yankees host the Rangers at 7:05. In the NBA, according to reports, Ben Simmons will not report to 76ers training camp that begins next week, and he intends to never play for the franchise again and wants to be traded. Have a good afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. That music you hear, a little Rearview Mirror by Pearl Jam, means it's time to go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to welcome to the show Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. Jay, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well. How's everyone doing there?
Doing really well. Is everything fixed in Green Bay? How are the Packers doing after the win last night against the Detroit Lions?
I mean, you want to see that if you're a Packers fan. You want to see Aaron Rodgers throwing four touchdowns. But, you know, I think the Packers are going to be one of these teams that we just never quite know what we're going to get out of them. We expect excellence, but we're not going to be surprised if they suddenly self detonate and explode right there on the field in an unexpected game again.
Hey, Jay, what do you think was the biggest surprise coming out of week two in the NFL? Was it Kansas City falling to the Ravens? Was it something else? Just what was the biggest thing that caught you off guard?
Maybe Kansas City. Yeah, you know, seeing Lamar Jackson actually come through there in the clutch, you know, not that he hasn't before, but seeing him kind of get over that hurdle that he's already had. What we saw a lot of was teams kind of returning to the mean. You know, you had a number of teams that had done very well early on and then all of a sudden sort of settled back to what we expected them to. You know, the Saints, for example, are not quite as good as they seem to be in week one, even though they thumped on the Packers. The Panthers maybe. On the other side of that game, the Panthers might be one of the bigger surprises. That seems like an actually competent team. Sam Darnold seems like a competent quarterback, and so that's not something that we would have called even 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, there's very little conversation around the Panthers, right? As we're talking to Jay Busby with Yahoo Sports. I mean, you're bringing him up here, which is good, but Sam Darnold, former high draft pick, and then Matt Rhule, he's still a young coach in the NFL in terms of how long he's been there. It's just his second year with Carolina.
Yeah, top to bottom, I mean, that's an organization that's undergone a complete dramatic change. You know, you've got new ownership there, relatively new ownership. You got new sideline staff. You've got new people on the field. You know, except for Christian McCaffrey, it's kind of new all across the board, and it seems to be working well enough for them. So that's good to see.
What do you make of the Texans quarterback situation now that Tyrod Taylor is hurt and they still say Deshaun Watson is not an option? Just what are the Texans doing? And I guess, can you explain why Deshaun Watson is actually on the active roster?
I mean, you know, it's probably, I don't know the specifics, but I'm sure it's a procedural thing. And it's entirely possible that the Texans and the NFL have kind of jointly decided to just kind of look the other way. And if that is the case, then I'm sure that the NFL Players Association and Deshaun Watson are going to be very interested in that. But, I mean, he's still getting paid. He's still on the active roster. It's just everything is so much in flux, and it may very well be this way for the entire season. As for what they do, I mean, who knows? You know, the Texans don't look like a terrible team. I mean, they're a bad team, let's be honest. They are a bad team, but they're not the potential 0-17 team that we thought they were going to be. They actually seem to have some potential there, but they're going to have a lot less potential with Davis Mills at quarterback rather than with Tyrod Taylor. So it's going to be tough for Houston fans one way or the other, but if there's a tiny sliver of light at the end of the tunnel, it's that maybe it's not quite as bad as it was supposed to be.
We're talking to Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports, and a couple weeks into an NFL season, we always have to offer the reminder, there's a long way to go, but we have an 18-week schedule, 17 games. Do we have to emphasize that? We're seeing a bunch of quarterbacks that are already injured with different types of injuries, but long way to go in a season where teams are already trying to figure out what to do with their health.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to only get trickier. You know, you adding in that 1 week, it's, you know, another whatever. I think I figured this up one time. It's another 6% worth of games. And so, you know, you figure that that's another 6% chance for injury to happen over the course of the season to a player. You're adding 6% to the total that you already have. And so, yeah, it's going to be a long, long season. The problem with the NFL is that it's not a significant number of games. And so you can't get into some kind of Kawhi Leonard type load management. But I would not be surprised if to see quarterbacks getting pulled from games a lot sooner than they might otherwise would if it gets to blowout stages one direction or the other, just for the simple fact that there's a real good chance that that a lot of these quarterbacks that are playing now are not going to make it all the way to the end of the season unscathed.
Hey, how long is this Derek Carr MVP train going to keep rolling down the tracks? I mean, this guy is off to the hottest start. I don't know if Las Vegas is a contender or a pretender at this point in time. How do you break down the Raiders and the start that Derek Carr is off to right now?
Yeah, all of a sudden, the Raiders look like a legitimate team. I mean, you know, John Gruden told us it was going to happen several years ago. They paid him whatever they paid him, $100 million, over 10 years. And everybody kind of laughed about it and said, sure, no way it's going to happen. Well, maybe, just maybe, it's happening. It's a fun team. It's a team that actually seems to be making big plays and making smart plays. Now, they're playing in the AFC West, so they've got already a huge challenge ahead of them with all three of the teams there to a greater or lesser degree. They're all three of their rivals. But yeah, it's going to be a fun team, and it seems like a team that is one of those pleasant surprises like the Panthers.
Jay Busby is with us, Yahoo Sports. Jay, do you have a guest request for the Manning cast with Peyton and Eli? They've spoken to a bunch of people in the first 2 weeks. Gronk was on last night, Charles Barkley in week one. Anybody that stands out you'd like to see on there with them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we got to get Brady on there, and I'm sure that negotiations are underway to get Brady on there. But, you know, I wonder, I'm sure there's a good answer for this, but I mean, Brady's the number one guy. You want to get him on there. And I would love to see them get Roger Goodell on there. You know, if you're talking strictly NFL stuff, you want to get the commissioner in, put the commissioner in a little bit of a hot seat. There's even been talk of Peyton becoming the commissioner in future years. So that would be interesting to see how he handles his what might be his future predecessor, if that makes sense. You know, outside, I would love to see – it's weird because you start bringing in too many people. I'm kind of thinking as I talk here. You start bringing in too many people, and it becomes a little ridiculous, like the old Monday Night Football with Dennis Miller, which has kind of faded into everyone's memory. But, you know, a stand-up comedian for a short period of time, that could be fun. Somebody who's sharp, you know, somebody like – I think Bill Burr would be great. If they're not trying to get Bill Burr, they should already be on the phone with him.
Was I the only person that felt a little cringe last night watching Brett Favre talk to Peyton Manning about Aaron Rodgers? I really wasn't there for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tricky thing. But, you know, if they're going to be honest about it, they've got to go all in. You know, I think that's what's saving the Manning cast so far. And that's what I think is going to be lost the further that it goes on. I mean, it's already a huge, I saw it today. ESPN was on in a restaurant I was in, and they had Best of the Manning Cast coming up in 20 minutes or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, they're already commodifying this and turning it into a brand, and it's going to get completely watered down. But the only way it's going to work is if they can keep that kind of honesty in there.
Have you seen that Lane Kiffin is calling for them to do it for the Tennessee Ole Miss game this year? They play each other, and Peyton played at Tennessee. Eli was a player at Ole Miss, of course, Archie too. But Heather doesn't want to see it because that day might not go well for the Vols. But what do you think there, Jay?
I'm in favor of any time you can get smart people willing to speak their minds and talk some ball in a knowledgeable situation. Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. I think Heather's right that this may not break Tennessee's way, but it's certainly worth checking out. And Peyton, you know, if you're going to have a defender, Peyton Manning on your side is about as good as it gets.
There you go.
I just think it puts him in an unfair situation.
Well, the problem is, I mean, I don't think he's worried about the unfair situation. It's going to be a tough ride for him no matter what. The problem is that I think that he might not be as nice to Tennessee as Tennessee would like. You know, he's going to be harsh. He's going to be direct, and he's going to speak his mind. And I don't think that Tennessee necessarily wants to hear that kind of tough love from beloved son Peyton Manning.
Yeah, there were a few times last night where he's saying, I don't know about that call, the 4th-and-1 where Jared Goff has to make a tough throw. Mm-hmm. And that, if he's in a spot where he's having to do that with a call by Josh Heupel, then those mean sports talk radio hosts are going to be talking about it on Monday.
If you listen around the edges, you know, if you don't listen to quite what he's saying, but how he's saying it, and listen kind of around the edges, you can hear what Peyton is like in a situation where he's actually got something on the line. He's talking about, you know, barking at his wide receivers. He's barking at the refs. He's barking at the coaches. You know, he's very subtly giving us a hint of what he's like. And I mean, you know, we've all interviewed people that have played with Peyton Manning, but no one's really going to go on the record and say, man, he was a, you know, word that starts with A in the huddle. I don't, you know, that's the kind of thing that you don't realize until after the fact or until you see him in action.
Hey, speaking of barking, we'll get you out of here after this. Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott this past weekend.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. It's always fun at Bristol because it makes everybody a little bit chippier. Everybody's in close. Kevin Harvick is like, you know, he's like some kind of generational icon. You've got to have a fight with Kevin Harvick at some point in order to make your bones in NASCAR. It was, you know, first it was Carl Edwards. And actually, first it was Greg Biffle way back in Bristol back in like 2008. And then it was Carl Edwards, and then it was Joey Logano, and now it's Chase Elliott. I mean, before long, there's going to be some 14-year-old kids getting into it with Kevin Harvick. So, you know, it's a rite of passage for NASCAR drivers.
That's right. Yahoo Sports, Yahoo Sports newsletters in your inbox every day. What else to promote there with football? We're in full swing now with football with Yahoo coverage.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously we're big on the sports betting aspect of things. So BetMGM, I don't know what the exact deal is right now, but I'm sure that there are all kinds of deals that you can get if you sign up with BetMGM through Yahoo. So get to it those of you who are in legal betting regions.
Yeah, and Heather's podcast listener, what'd you say, Dan Wetzel, who's your colleague, they're doing Fade Pat, who's now with SI, correct? But a
yes.
former Yahoo writer as well.
And they call him Tap. Whenever apparently 2 years ago or something, he was on such a bad streak picking against the spread, they just started fading Pat, and they call him Tap. And they were threatening last week to bring Tap back.
Oh, yeah. Pat was not happy about that, as anyone would not be. I mean, I was, you know, I took an absolute bath. The only game that I won in my friendly wagers over week one was betting against the Falcons as kind of an emotional hedge for me. So, you can go through rough weeks. But, Pat went through a rough one there for a while. And so it became actually more profitable to bet against him than with him.
The sports fan emotional hedge is a conversation for another day as well, because I have several exactly. Tennessee friends who could relate to that one as well. Hey, Jay, appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much. And we will check in with you again next week.
Absolutely. Take care.
Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Love Jay stopping by. And yeah, check out the Yahoo's. It's the College Football Inquirer pod with Dan Wetzel, Pete Thamel, and SI's Pat Forty.
Back for the final segment. We're talking about oat milk. I don't know it, but open to it.
Yeah. Hey, shouts to Doc Staley, who called us recently. Loves some Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
It's for you, Doc. Today's the 21st of September, so yes, we do remember. And oat milk, I think it's very good for the environment.
Okay.
It is delicious. If you have any sort of dietary needs to stray away from cow's milk, I do, it's a great choice. Great choice in smoothies. Love almond milk, too. And I also love buying a product that I can literally keep in my refrigerator safely for over 2.5 months. It's just, I mean, like now the expiration date that I'm buying currently is December 2nd. So it's strong.
That's almost a 2022 right there.
Yeah.
We had a question during the show yesterday. Is this sports talk or the laughing hour? And the answer is it's the laughing hour.
Yeah, so, it's both.
To clarify.
Yeah. Was somebody being snarky? They were not liking our topic choice?
If there's one thing that I will not stand for, it's snark. That and sarcasm.
Yeah, that's because you got the market cornered on Sports 180. You don't want any competition there. I like it. I respect it.
Yeah.
I think we give everybody... I mean, how much more Harrison Bailey talk do you need, people? Trying to give you what you want here, provide a few laughs.
Yeah. I haven't gotten enough Harrison Bailey takes over the last 2 weeks.
You haven't?
Not enough.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I feel like that's a challenge, listeners. Josh Ward just issued a challenge.
Yep.
He needs some more HB talk.
Yep. As we say hello to John Wilkerson, you can never get enough John Wilkerson.
Oh, I don't know. I know plenty of people that have had their fill and more.
We'll try on Thursday for sure.
Hello there.
How's everything going?
Big thumbs up. Hope you guys, you guys sound like you're having a good time today.
Moving along.
How are you
love
approaching?
Love Jay Busby, by the way.
I know. He's just the
Between
best.
Between him and Alan Bell, two best people you have on the show.
Oh. Oh.
Well, third and fourth, I would like to think.
You're the hosts.
Oh.
I'm not saying besides you. I mean, it's your show. I'm just saying among your weekly guests, Jay Busby, Alan Bell are the top of the mountaintop for me.
Well, those two, and then the 1:30 and 1:45 segments on Thursday.
Yeah, that guy's pretty good. We like that guy.
I think he's quite a bozo.
Pretty good.
How are you? Because I know you get as into this emotionally as what I do. I still can't relate to Josh and no feelings. How has been the first couple of days of this week for you?
Well, I let Tim Irwin set a good part of the tone from hearing all that his concerns were, and they were the ones that were already being formulated in my own mind. And
right.
And that was just watching Florida respond the way it did. It's like they're a lot closer to Alabama than I believe Tennessee is to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, you always have a chance, but Tennessee is going to need every break.
Yeah.
So I'm anxious to see how the team competes because I do like how hard they play. And I like the way they've responded to the staff. I like the way the staff handles the team. So I'm anxious to see this biggest test, a big test thus far,
yep.
just to see how everybody handles it. But obviously it is an uphill climb and I'm talking close to Everest.
That's right. It's steep.
It's steep. Yeah, really it up.
It's that way. We're getting ready for Sports Talk at 3:00. John Wilkerson will be a part of it. Before that, let's hit the power poll.
not a guest.
John Wilkerson, we're looking at college football, top five teams around the country. It's an interesting list. The SEC might lead the way, we'll see here. But top five college football teams after 3 weeks of action, 25% of the season for these teams.
Tell you what, when you sent me the question, when you sent me what the power poll was today, I was thinking, all right, there's a team that's actually fit for me that I would never have imagined I would have included. But at number five, Iowa.
Hey,
I just think they have a good.
About it?
I think they have a good resume. Number four, Penn State. Number three, Oregon. Number two, Georgia. Number one remains Alabama.
Well, would you have also thought? Obviously not, because you've already eliminated one of them from preseason thought. Two Big Ten teams in your top five. None of them named Ohio State. How about that?
Would not have thought that.
Yep.
But it doesn't bug me.
But here we are, yeah.
Not losing any sleep
over it. No, when you deal with people like Terry. Love you, Terry.
What team does he cheer for again?
I haven't heard from Buckeye Terry last couple weeks.
I've not heard from him.
Heather Harrington, your top five teams in college football.
I like the way John started. So this is my power ranking as of right now. I stand by this, and this is the only time I can have number three be number three. So here it comes. Iowa is number five for me. I've got Oregon in at the number four spot. I've got Alabama in at number three.
Whoa.
Penn State at number two. I think it's the best resume. Maybe the second best, and that's because Georgia, I do have the Georgia Bulldogs number one. I just think, man, they've earned it. Alabama, great win over Florida, but, you know, I'm going to ding them a little bit.
All that love you showed Alabama last week, and you drop your Tide?
Didn't beat them bad enough.
That's right.
Which just proves that the moment you have to count on a rival to do anything for you, worthless.
They're worthless.
Absolutely worthless.
Honorable mention, Iowa. So I'm the Hawkeye hater here of the group.
You would be.
You know, I hate it when people, they have their teams in their preseason poll and they won't move them. So I have Oklahoma at number five. I have Penn State number four. Resume is really impressive to this point. Oregon number three. You go on the road to Ohio State and win. That'll get you up there. I have Georgia number two and Alabama number one.
Hey,
as you love the Sooners, I'm surprised your kids aren't named Lincoln and Riley.
Are we talking enough about what's going on at Ohio State? Lowest crowd in like 40 years? Lowest crowd since, I think, like the 80s.
You talking hot seat for Ryan Day or what's going on there?
No. I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out facts.
Yeah.
Just pointing out facts. They had less than 70,000 at the game on Saturday.
And they can still sweep the Big Ten. They can still power their way straight into the college football playoff once again. And we know that the Big Ten's not they're not averse to changing things if it needs to help them.
Is this correct? I think I've heard it during Sports Talk yesterday. This is the lowest Ohio State has been since they last won the national championship.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So this is not boding well for those that really don't like what goes on in Columbus.
Okay, just for the record, also honorable mention of my power poll, Ohio State.
Okay, I'll throw that one in,
Let
too.
Let the record show later this season when they're playing in the playoff. Somebody was still giving them a mention week three when others were writing them off.
That's right, but now that's two, I'm not going to join those ranks.
Hater John, what's coming up next on Sports Talk?
Well, we've got a lot coming your way. We'll get a preview of the Gators. In fact, we have a couple of guests that will talk about Gainesville, and that will be Pat Dooley, our longtime friend. That'll be at 3:35. Vince Ferrara joins in for hour number two of the program, and while Vince is on, Vince and I have a pal, Steve Russell, who's down at WRUF. He'll also jump on board to talk some Florida football. We'll have comments from Tennessee's football camp at 5:30. John McClain moved his day from Wednesday to Tuesday, so John McClain this afternoon at 5:30. Practice report with Eric Kane, all that and more today on Sports Talk.
A big afternoon ahead. John, appreciate the time. Look forward to it.
Guys, have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We will be back tomorrow on Sports 180 at 12 o'clock. Sports Talk's coming up next. Logan Ward, thank you. Heather, see you tomorrow.
We will be back tomorrow on my birthday, in case you forgot.
Well, it's been 5 minutes. We'll see you tomorrow. Should be quite a day on 99.1, the Sports Animal.